Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our totally legitimate stream here about not legitimacy. That was yesterday. We're two in a row here. Bam, 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 bam. We're actually talking today about localism. But before I do that, I was reminded in the comments yesterday that we did not do the weather report. The weather is, well, it's variable. We had like a, we had a giant thunderstorm roll through actually a couple of minutes ago. That was a hell of a thing. But luckily nobody got hurt and no lightning struggles, although there was a lot of hailstone. I wish winter would end. Winter doesn't seem to want to end, but that is the weather report. I am not actually joined by Evelyn today. I am joined by our occasional stream guest, although now I guess more regular stream guest since she's been in quite a few of these. Lewis is back.
G'day.
G'day. You actually do have like a strange small fan base because people do enjoy our like man in the pub chats, and that's really what I aim for these to be. That's why I quite like having you on. You're quite a good like man in the pub gauge as well. But today we yes. I see you unmute.
Gage.
Gage. Oh, you gauge. Can't. You can't spell gauge without gay. No, it's terrible. Right. There we go. Hello, everybody inside our computers. How are you all doing today? I believe that is the traditional greeting. For those of you who don't know, we are still fully monetized. Somehow, there's somebody. Some people were saying that they have had trouble with the YouTube donation button, but a couple of people say that. That's on YouTube's end. YouTube has just been absolutely useless, and it becomes even more useless as time goes by. So if you can't support us via that, what you can do, and somebody already has it, thank you for the $50 there, Paladini6868. Hard to have normal conversations when our language has been so distorted. The vitriol around the use of terms like Catholics and Americans and Christians gets very confusing since Paris top down. How do individuals deal with these categorical errors? Well, I quite like that question because it does bring us into a little bit of what we're talking about here, which is the most immediate politics you have is local politics. If you want to cut through confusion and you want to not deal with the global narratives, well, at least as much, or at least you shouldn't be doing, local politics is the place to go for that. But it is also maddeningly boring in places. and that is a bit of the paradox, is local politics feels like you're not getting anything done, but it is actually one of the few places where concrete things can actually be done. We've talked about this in patches, but I wanted to just do a dedicated stream just about the ethos of localism, what localism is, what localism isn't, and some of the pitfalls of national level campaigns. You know, everyone has, I think, a bit of an inversion where they're trying to go for these big national level gains, when really what you actually need is a series of local level gains. The big, big problem there is that there are local organizations that are, frankly, running circles by national politics to their detriment. We'll get into that in a little bit. But, yes, for those of you, sorry, who've been struggling with the back end of YouTube, I'm struggling with the back end of YouTube myself now because it's being quite slow, but the non-YouTube tax way you can support us is by the Ko-Fi, or you can buy the book. Those are in the pinned messages there, and obviously down in the description below. I don't know, Lewis, do you have an intro for yourself at all, or do you just want to get right into this? Oh, you're still muted there. Yeah, although we could hear you if you were muted. we might be having some technical problems here. We'll see what happens, but yes, there we go. Right, I will get this up here because it's one of the little things I was talking about, which is thousands of New Forest residents fight against council merger. This is one of the big ongoing stories, and really kind of the huge thing that is challenging localism. The Labour government knows that localism is one of the few vectors through which you can actually attack the managerial state. There we go. There seems to be two Lewises now. There we go. Got it. I think this might be some internet balking. Now, one of the vectors you can actually attack the managerial state is through basic localism. It is one of the only vectors left. And so one of the things being done... One of the things being done to local councils are these mergers. They are these terrible, terrible removals of... Why is that not working? I don't want to remove the message. Sorry, the pinned message thing is now not working. And sorry there for Shubber NI trying to unpin your message. It removed it. That was accidental. God, the YouTube interface is bad at the moment. But this war, the New Britain stuff is something we covered before Labour came to power. But this is one of their big Wyatt campaigns here, trying to kill any chance of resurgency through local councils and local residents being able in any way to fight what is going on. Do we have you back yet, Lewis? It's one of the... There you are.
Yes. I'm back.
There
I've
we go.
I've had internet problems.
There was about three of you for a second there, but you are indeed back. It's unfortunately it's not something I can talk in too many specifics about because we have a very good local party here that I don't actually want to be at all related to our political activities at all. It should be local. It should be neutral. It should deal with local issues and national level political controversies. Should not be brought into local politics. I think that's one of the biggest problems when we try and think localistically. We think, oh, well, we need to vote for X national party in local government. When really, the most effective local councillors I've seen are not from national parties, and they can act a lot more nimbly because they are not bound up by the whip. They are not bound up by having to pull together for this Westminster project. You don't have to worry about Westminster if you are actually, you know, the small parish council. You do have a degree of autonomy, and you can actually gum up some of the machinations of the central government. One of my biggest problems with the current approach to politics, especially localism, is that when it comes to the larger national parties coming in and trying to, well, shake the narrative up, let's say, like Restore or like Reform or even Restore, it acts like what happened with Rishi Sunak when he decided to pick up the whole Stop the Boats thing. We'll probably talk about Dover at some point. That's one of the good examples of local action and activism completely ruined by national level grifting and publicity stunts, frankly. But populists kill genuine grassroots politics. That's the problem. Populists and populism kills grassroots politics, which is fragile, slow, boring, and painstaking. Gumming up attempts to kill councils is one of the few things and one of the most important things that can be currently done. I had that Daily Echo article up there. That is something that can actually be done if you want to try and figure out a way to gum up your local council merger. Unfortunately, it is kind of area by area. That's how they're doing it. But there should be campaigns. Unfortunately, a lot of them are on Facebook. But if you look at your local, you know, Stop the Council Merger Facebook group, if you have one, and if you don't have one, start one. These are some of the only places where there is any actual political fight back going on. But the problem with Restore and Reform and all of these national level parties are they act like clumsy giants. They promise big national level change in the long term, but can, even with the best of intentions, utterly ruin local political organization, or at least reset it. A lot of councils who have been trying to get like Labour off their back, who are non-Labour areas, have gone through a UKIP council and a Brexit Party council and a Reform council, and now, you know, or they're starting to look for a Reform council, but they're 10 years into their alternative councillor experiment, and a lot of them have just had a huge churn and a lot of dropout because there isn't any stability. Whereas the dedicated local parties that have had a slightly longer time horizon aren't bound up by you know, Westminster level politics, have a much better survival rate. They're able to have much more permanence despite being much smaller local groups. And those much smaller local groups have also found themselves a lot more effective against things like HMOs. I've tried to talk to people on the back end and ask them why these efforts aren't knitting together these existing local political organizations, but no one wants to deal with 1,000 parish councils. It's a headache for the government itself. So it kind of goes in circles where you get all these large-scale political projects that end up just treading on the toes if they're trying to get something done in a local area of the local activists, because often they'll really want to start from scratch within their own party infrastructure. Reform has been quite bad for this and has been quite deadly to a lot of other councils. I don't know. I'll throw it over to you, Lewis. In terms of local action, what have you seen, and have you seen what I've seen, which is these national level agendas intruding on local level efforts?
Where I'm based, I would definitely say that there is an issue. God, where do I start? So we used to have Lib Dem where we are, and then it was Labour, and it's based, and then we had Tory, and then it's gone back to Labour. But the Labour council, the Labour MP, and basically it's a Labour council mixed with this kind of like a Lib Dem. So it's kind of like between Lib Dems and Labour for us. They're just the big parties. I wouldn't say that they're connected within the like local area, really. Even when the Conservatives were in, they were shite, basically, because they didn't really deliver on anything. I would probably say maybe the Conservatives with the Lib Dems in the council were probably a bit better, because they at least kept the roads reasonably up to date, but which is the main problem where I am. But under Labour, especially with the current system, it's shocking. Just everything just degraded, basically. So for myself, there isn't really any local councillors. They just don't exist where I am, unfortunately. It's all connected in with the Westminster bubble, really. So anything that comes on from top is what they have to do, and then that's it, really. Me.
That so is the same I, in kind of
that, I've got nothing to really
even a lot
to
of small
parts of the conversation. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's fine. And it is something that most people experience, in that local politics has become quite sewn up by the large parties, and the problem is that when you do get something that isn't sewn up by the large parties, it tends to be a slightly more peripheral. A lot of your more countryside based areas have got local action group councillors. But a lot of those are in danger, again, of kind of being swallowed up by reform, which will then turn it into the same problem everyone else has when it ends up as national level politics. I'm very lucky in that I do live in an area that has basically a clean sweep of local councillors here. This little area that I'm in returned all councillors for the Localist Party, and all of the national level parties were completely shut out in the wards of my town for the local elections, which is quite a miracle. But what I worry about is reform coming in and ruining that, and trying to pull support away from a local set of councillors who are actually doing extremely good work. And this is a patchwork I've seen when I've been trying to talk to independent councillors, people who are doing anti-HMO campaigns. Anti-HMO campaigns have been one of the more successful things that local councils have do. And I know we talked about practical solutions last time that we talked, Lewis, and one of them was anti-HMO. That is one of the big things you can do is in a council area is trying to get into planning, because local planning and local planning designation is one of the things that you can do. If the government wants to try and open a migrant centre in your area, or the more likely scenario is they're going to try and rent out properties in your area, if you're able to get some roadblocks in place, like an Article 4, which creates planning permission requirements for the change of use of houses, especially in the case of HMOs, that is something you can do that is concrete. But that is not something that a lot of the national level parties are bothered with. They're bothered with their Westminster ambitions. And so the actual local concerns of actual local people tend to be completely ignored. And that, I guess that's what you experience in your area, because it's nice to compare and contrast, because a lot of areas around here, larger towns and larger cities are all like that. They are all sewn up by the larger parties, and it makes local politics feel completely pointless, because it becomes pointless. Once it is subsumed in the national party structures, yes, you can amplify what you can do in theory, but in practice, you can really do nothing.
Just on the HMO part for myself, I think, so the town that's close to me, they have a number of HMOs. They actually have a list of HMOs that they do have, and they're all congregated, obviously, in one area. But it's very interesting because the surrounding areas, as far as I'm aware, don't have any HMOs in them. But what is interesting, to link this into some of the things you were saying on Twitter today, I don't know if it was in the afternoon, don't matter, was to do with various Christian organisations that have been supporting essentially HMO type
Yes. Meditation,
I guess is probably the word I'm thinking about, which is interesting because I am aware of the area I'm in. There is actually a connection with Manchester, of all places, which is like fucking 2 hours away from where I am, having a connection with the local church groups around where I am, then providing assistance for foreigners.
That is a big one of, yes, that's actually a good lead in here. That's something I didn't put in the notes, but I want to talk about, is the fact that a lot of localism is figuring out not what you can do, but what you can stop from happening. This is probably the one you're talking about here, where I talk about Caritas. I've talked about Caritas before, but a lot of the people who talk about, you know, base Catholicism and all this do not understand that the Catholic Church is a giant immigration lobby, and that every single Catholic diocese in Britain on a local level offers refugee and migrant services. You'll often hear when a priest has been killed or a terrorist attack has happened near a Catholic church, it was because one of these groups, one of these organizations, or even just a local parish, was looking after a migrant that then turned out to be a murderer. This also goes into politics as well. There has been lobbying attempts. The Catholic Church also lobbies for pro-immigration legislation. And so that is something you can, if you're a member of your local church diocese, do try and work out what kind of refugee services they offer and what kind of political pressure they try and apply to basically have open borders, and maybe try and discourage your diocese of that. Because a lot of people do not understand the damage that their, frankly, Christ LARP is doing. You LARPing as a Christian in the Catholic Church is just filling the coffers of immigrant organizations. This is one of the big loggerheads that we've had with people, but just go to church and be a Christian doesn't fucking work. And this is why. And you need to understand what is happening in your local area, because often the institutions you will patronize, like your local church, will be one of the institutions ruining your local area. And frankly, a lot of people just do not speak out about this. There's not a lot of attendance in a lot of dioceses in this country. A lot of dioceses are quite small. So if you get 4 or 5 people who are regular members of your Catholic, you know, community to ask, well, why is my diocese importing third world murderers? That is something you can do. It might not be a particularly pleasant fight, but a lot of people need, a lot of localism is clearing your own houses. If you want to take part in organized religion, I would encourage you to clear your own house, because just deciding to, you know, pretend you are now somebody of faith misses the point. And much of the organized religion in this country that people are trying to save themselves with is actively involved in their own destruction. One of the points of localism really is figuring out what is being done on your behalf, let's say. We've had another donation here. Thank you, Piotr, 1986. Good topic, often tackled in this country too. Every local controversy becomes a proxy for the Prague versus the religious new narrative that populists weaponize. Local issues become subordinate. Yes. And this, the entire conversation becomes quite subsumed. I don't know, what's the most crazy thing that you've noticed your local authority doing then, Lewis? Do you have any silly local authority or silly local initiative stories?
I'm just going to think now. The main one I can think to was, it was actually during 2016. I don't tend to spend a lot of time involved in local politics. It's my own problem. It's just time. It's just time for myself. Yes. Maybe that's an excuse. I should put more effort in. But one story I can think of is, it was during the Syrian refugee or migrant or whatever you want to call it crisis, when that all kicked off. I know that there were a number of Syrians, and I think they were Christian Syrians. They were brought into my local area. There weren't loads of them. There was probably about a dozen and a half, something like that, that were brought in. And most of them, I don't think they ended up staying around where we are anyway. I think they moved further to what I think they got moved into the city that's close to me, where I am, about an hour away. So, but that's one of the things I can think about. But again, that's connected more so with the church than the actual local council. I think some of the other council stuff, I know that it was during the riots that happened when Starmer took office. I know that the council was like very, very big on shutting down various things. And actually, in the wake of that, my mother works for the council, and she was informed that she and various other staff may be required to tattletale on family members or friends about certain opinions.
Oh dear.
And report it to the police. I'm not even joking. That was something that my mother informed me about. So this is, I would imagine that's probably been said in other places as like a sort of in-house memo, but that is something that councils have probably been informed about. But that's, again, that's my only two stories I can reference.
Well, there's been a lot of council waste in different areas, but I won't name the council that it's part of, but my local council once cancelled a multi-million pound private sector regeneration project in the tens of millions because it would clash with the work of a local artist. Which is, I remember hearing it because I'm a little bit privy to some of the goings on in our council, and I remember hearing that and being like, what? Oh no, we already let this local artist. It was stupid things like mini sculptures of like handbags put under benches and things like that. It was complete like communist art, like local artist piffle, and yet they turned down a massive private sector shop, like shopping district regeneration in an area that is now derelict, because they had, oh, it would clash with the maybe, you know, the less than £1 million worth of work of a local artist. Which is just, this is what local councils like, though, and this is what happens if you do not pay attention to local politics. This is what happens. Speaking of, though, there's a couple more kind of politics points I want to get through, though, which is the fact that national parties are incentivized to really shit on local parties. Local parties in areas disillusioned with national politics can spend years, even decades, building up successful local action networks and be swept aside by national populist parties that promise huge change but actually just ruin the efforts of the local party. This disrespect and disregard of successful local parties by Save Britain national organisations, Save Britain in quotes, is one of the things holding back the potential for local politics to combat national politics. There is actually a lot of tension there between the local parties. I was hoping that something like Restore Britain wouldn't be just fielding candidates again, because again, my experience, unless you have just national level candidates in an area, which you should check for, the potential wiping out of these small local activist networks is going to be disastrous. I don't think we realize that the quiet NIMBYs that interfere with the small parish and small town councils in this country are the Cheeto over the toilet door. They have been holding back a lot of the worst excesses of what could be done to certain small villages simply through their obstinance. And once those people disappear, I think we will really, really miss them. Mostly because we do not know they are there.
Well, it's like my parish council. I think it was, it still exists to an extent, because I know that the village that I'm in, it technically was mentioned in the Doomsday Book. That's how old it is. And I think at the time there was only about maybe 50 people that lived here when that was written anyway. The actual council seat for this area is basically conjoined with another one that's over the other side of the valley, basically. And at one time it was actually part of the local town that oversees all the stuff. So the irony is for me is that I don't technically have a local parish council. It's technically mine plus another village.
That has been, again,
it was centralized.
Yeah. A lot of that happened previously, and this big centralization effort is a real vector for trying to make sure that there can be no local fightbacks. But the tension between the local and national kind of politics, it's something that isn't really spoken about. I don't think in this way very often. Oh, no, that's the way it should be. With all of these new national parties coming in, and the only people they're actually busting up, the only people they're defeating, the only people that they're displacing much of the time are these fragile activists locally that nobody really knows but are doing a lot of good things. And it's this kind of this story of national level resources being brought to local level battles ends extremely badly. And there's a few examples of this. Well, so you mentioned the so-called summer riots in 2024. This is a good example of what happens when national level narratives and national level protests especially is brought into people's towns. I know for a fact that the quote unquote summer riots, all of these protests, I mean, spoiler alert, I'm in contact with a bunch of, you know, loosely local activist organizations about immigration, genuine localist groups. If I don't have contact with them, you know, either via somebody, I have contact with somebody, how, you know, I have a lot of kind of second and third hand connections who keep a good eye on that stuff for me, and they're able to collate information and send it to me and able to tell me who's who, who's doing what, and what the actual genuine local activists, you know, are and who they are and what they're doing. You know, it's really hard information to find. A lot of it's on Facebook. So thank you all those people who send me those things. But through that, what I learned was that all of these local organizations that do good work for immigration were not involved with these supposed protests that happened in 2024. I've been very insistent that this didn't happen. The 2024 summer protests were a framing. The actual pro, here's the Sky News article, 130 protests planned for this weekend in Southport, stabbing aftermath. And I think it goes through to list a few of them. And there was a few places it was linked to. This was basically a giant media agitated national level spurg out by the very online right and people who follow Tommy Robinson. A lot of people talked about patriots pouring out into the street. All these delusions that have led nowhere. And yet, they don't see the quiet damage that the patriots in control, patriots in the street people do to local level politics. The summer riots, in quotes, weren't a disaster for, you know, the town centres of Britain. There was actually very little damage, but it was a disaster for local organisation, because all these local groups trying to stop migrant centres, one, had the police come down on them, even though these were not their protests. They were framed as their protests, but they were not. And all the local action groups ended up having more pressure on them for no gain. But also it just put a lot of people off. A lot of people thought, well, if Tommy Robinson can go, we all need to take to the streets and ruin our reputation overnight to the point that it makes our local activism harder, what am I even doing? Why am I even trying? And a lot of people during that period who were genuine local activists, some of who have put 10, 20 years into fighting migration in their own area, put up their hands and said, I don't want to be associated with a bunch of spurging Tommy Robinson thugs. I'm out. And the national level cope of things like Tommy and the Patriots and the Patriot protests and the Operation Raise the Colors and all of this, all it does is trample all over very tentative, very careful, and often very, you know, long-winded negotiated positions that local activists have for a carve-out for their area, which stops it being ruined. We don't hear about these things because, again, it's local, it's simple, it's boring. And I wanted to do this stream, I wanted to do this stream with you, because I'm often incensed by this. I'm incensed by this idea that that you can have all these people screaming at you that no, we have to back the Patriots. No, we have to do this, we have to do that. When really all that's happening is that the actual practical stuff, like planning law campaigns, is utterly destroyed by all of this. I don't know, was there any lasting impact in your area, positive or negative, you would say, from the quote-unquote summer riots in 2024?
Nothing. I know that when I was actually getting the train, when one of these quote protests was going off, and I think about three people got arrested, but they were literally just people just that were around town, not where I live, the town near me. They were just going about the business as they normally do on one of those days, and they just got arrested for nothing, basically.
That's a lot of what I've heard as well, in that this was a dragnet operation, in that a lot of people who were just kind of milling around were arrested. And that's a huge disruption to the local area. If you're just going into your town centre and you get effectively arrested by the police on suspicion of being a racially aggravated protester, that's not good for your area. I don't understand what these people are hoping to achieve with all of this, but this is a great example of what local activism isn't. Here I've got a quick article here from the Electronic Immigration Network. I'm not quite sure who they are, but this is from 2015, and it says, government to send message, Britain is not a soft touch on asylum as concerns over Cali migrants grow. That's how long this has been going on. We're year 11, 12 of Stop the Boats now. And that seems to be another campaign and another example of what localism isn't, which is the Steve Laws clown show. If you are a local activist group and someone like Steve Laws, a national level, let's be fair, basically Twitter grifter shows up, you are about to have a bad time. I try not to have beef with these, but I try to ignore them, to be fair, but the Steve Laws of this world are just mini Toby Robinsons, and all they do is ruin, really, a lot of local people's activism by creating national-level attention on it. And if you end up with national-level attention on your local campaign, you are just going to get crushed. The Patriots don't rise up for you, you don't get, you know, raising awareness support. What actually happens to you is what happened in Epping.
You just get squashed.
Yeah.
You just get squashed.
You just get squashed. You just absolutely get squashed because Westminster politics is sewn up. And by the way, even quote-unquote alternative parties, they will always take the opportunity to shit on actually independent political parties and independent political organizations because it benefits them. Anyone who's been in politics long enough knows that it's a zero-sum game. And so if they can, even if you're doing good work, if they can dislodge you for their own national ambitions, they will do. There's no sentimentality when it comes to dislodging, you know, good independent MPs and good independent councillors when it comes to, you know, the likes of Reform.
Do you know what analogy I've just made a connection with what you're saying here is? So I'm sure you're aware that I've had conversations with you on Twitter, and I think, I don't know if I've mentioned it in the back channel that we have with each other. I've tried following up a lot with like the Ukraine conflict, and I apologize for bringing this up, the Ukraine conflict. What's very interesting, there's a couple books on this that were written by a number of the guys that initiated what was called the Russian Spring. Yeah?
Yeah.
Those guys, it's very interesting when you, I won't go into massive detail with this, but basically they were the guys that initiated that were essentially, they were local politics. Like the guys in the Donbass area in 2014, they started off as people concerned, right? Actual local politics. And then you had a number of assistants that came from the GRU in the Russian military. This is not connect, these guys not being connected with the Kremlin. And essentially they went rogue, effectively. And then what you then had is the entire conflict in Ukraine is essentially you've got one fucking hammer the Ukrainian hammer on one side, the Russian hammer on the other, and then these guys in the Donbass area and the GRU types that went rogue, they basically got sandwiched between the two positions. So it's very, just as an analogy, to apply the same thought process with local stuff being completely smashed when one of these hammers, metaphorical hammers, notices you, it just comes crashing down and it will fucking whack you like a nail. It sees you as a rival castle.
Yes. Yes, it is. And that is a big thing here, is that really what we're trying to campaign against in people's minds is mass and scale. It's this idea that you have to subsume yourself into a national level movement. Actually, the Epping Migrant Hotel might have had a more successful closure campaign if it wasn't getting national attention. In fact, it probably would have, because the government's resources are finite and they can only pick so many battles to have. In fact, keeping your local battle out of the headlines is essential. Where I am here, I've had to not battle with people, but I've had to suggest to certain people that no, they shouldn't bring attention to this on a national level. And when national level media has tried to pull up what is being done here, it has been met with quite a lot of skepticism, which is good. National level media attention is a terrible idea if you're trying to get anything done locally. Really, it should take on what we call the cloak of boringness, in that what you're doing should look like normal, boring local council's action. But what it should be really is as far as you can get within the bounds of what you can do in your remit of protecting your area from things like mass immigration, housing use changes, decline, the importation of, you know, undesirable businesses, the closing of the fake vape shops, things like that. Those are things that can be done, but they can only be done if you are not under the eye of Sauron. And it's very important that people reverse their thinking when it comes to politics and mass. We've got this awful democratic thinking baked into us.
Mm. It's the issue of thinking that we have collectively, even at the local level, thinking that we have mass when we have no capacity to actually mobilize that, if we're going to use military terms, thereby assuming that, oh, well, I'm going on a protest, which the purpose of a protest is to mobilize, is a demonstration of power. That's basically all a protest is. It's a demonstration of, look, I can mobilize X number of these people in this area at this date. What can you do? What army have you got?
Yeah.
That's effectively what a protest is. But the problem is that a protest at the national level that we're discussing is completely useless because it's taking away from the actual on the ground local issues, and it saps power away and energy to deal with the local issues, which would actually provide you a local
castle, yeah.
Effectively,
yeah.
Is what
yes,
yeah,
it would do. It would allow you, it's this, people want these big wins. When people say, when I say, no, actually, you can't take over, you know, Westminster, you can't take over the Tory party, you can't just vote your way out of this, it's going to be slow, it's going to take a lot of building. They don't want to hear that. But it is the point that you can only do what you can do. And it also makes people feel like they've done something. I would always encourage people to, if they're going to undertake quote-unquote serious political action, don't sit with like one of those prove me wrong tables like you're an American anti-SJW activist. Actually start, like, if you've got time, sit in the back of local council meetings or go and read council meeting minutes. Yes, they're terribly boring, but you might find some extremely eye-opening stuff in there. Look at your look at the funding reports for your local council. Again, look at your local church diocese. Look at the immigration services in your area. Look at the other services in your area and the NGOs that operate in your area that might be able to be dislodged if they are distasteful enough. Most people think that nothing can be done on a personal level by them, but it's not that nothing can be done. It's that personal level and, you know, local level things can be done. Village level things can be done, not national level things. But, and this won't change Britain, this won't help the climb, but it will rescue in a small way your area. And if we all try and look after our areas whilst we really kind of wait out Westminster, because Westminster has to run out of puff. That this idea that, that, you know, it's going to be Nigel, it's going to be Rupert, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, it's going to be advance, it's, you know, advance, retard, restore, you know? It's all of this. Instead of that, it's the classic deglobalize your mind. I'm not get that back up because we've used the deglobalize your mind slide to death. But really, it is a fact of deglobalize your mind. So I've been talking a lot there. Here, Lewis. You've got some more stuff here.
Well, I wouldn't even say it's deglobalize your mind. I think that if we're talking about sentence structure and mental state, and we get a bit deeper in maybe, I don't know, you could call it the soul of the words that have been spelled out, deglobalize your mind is negative, it's passive. It's not active.
Localize your mind.
Don't deglobalize your mind. Localize your mind. Localize your soul.
Your imagination shouldn't be, you know, Westminster. It should be kind of think village pub, is what I always try and tell people. Think what you could get done with the people in the village pub. And if you don't know anyone you could get anything done in the village pub with, you should maybe know more people locally. And that is another big thing. Another part of localism is just being connected to your local community. A lot of people have zero connection to their local area. And that's really collectively how this has happened. The deracination, the fact that people have been actively disconnected from their local communities is no accident. But in terms of what you can do, even if you're not doing any kind of quote-unquote political action, just becoming more connected locally is in of itself a virtue.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
I'm Lewis, and I endorse the statement. Another thing as well, though, is just, I don't want to say left-field localism, but when there isn't something to be done, like a migrant centre to be fought or a HMO regulation to be put in, downtime can kind of kill localism efforts. But one of the other things I want to talk about as well is energy. You know, people talk about vitalism. You talk about the fact that politics in this country has no vril to it. It has no solar energy. It is completely devoid of anything that excites people. And it could be as simple as, you know, having a beer festival or organizing a little bit of local music in your area or getting a couple of the pubs to get together and put a different couple of beers on. Not quite as a beer festival, even that kind of thing. But there are efforts. People think of politics as a battle, as a negative, as you're always fighting a migrant center. But actually what you can be doing is organizing things like litter picking. Once you do, quote-unquote, take control of a local area, what you do with it isn't paranoid politico. You don't politicize these people and get them to march around the streets with signs. What you actually do is you get them to go out there and improve their own area. You have, you know, markets. You have, you know, little beer festivals. You have little music festivals. You can create community in your community with extremely simple things, without much money, and with just a little bit of effort. People will tell you that the village fair won't solve anything, but most people don't have a village fair anymore. At least you will have a village fair. At least Mabel will have somewhere to sell her jams. At least people will be talking to each other. And that is really the fabric of localism. It is these small, little things in your community that make your community worth living in, especially when it involves other people who are actually British. Because anyone who's tried to organize anything anywhere knows that the new Britons are not interested. Apart from when it comes to getting more benefits or getting a mosque built, the new Britons do not want to pick up the litter. They do not want to be involved in the local area outside of their own benefit. They actually don't involve themselves in this kind of organization. So this really is kind of an open space for people who are actually British to participate in, because that's where you'll find most of the committed white British people is really just trying to save the church roof. And it is, localism is a series of saving the church roof. I really wish Restore had been something like that, of saying, hey, instead of being vain, instead of going, donate millions to me so I can run a big electoral campaign and piss all your money away, if every cent that went to Restore Britain actually went to fixing, like, you know, a local village hall, a market hall, went to restoring X Village Green, if the money put in actually went into people's local area, that'd be much more good than, another electoral campaign. That would actually literally restore Britain. But that's not the way people's thinking works. It's inverted from where it should be. They think that politics is bottom up, and then they look at the very top of it, rather than understanding that they can't affect the top of politics because it is top down, and instead looking at the area that they already have remit over. But I've done this rant to death before.
I endorse this message.
I've got the thumbnail up here. Sorry. Because I've not really got many other things on stream, but I'm enjoying the this is actually a little diorama, for those of you who don't know, of the League of Gentlemen local shop for local people. And I quite I don't know, the League of Gentlemen has almost become like a weird nostalgic piece of British media, because it almost represents the feelings and humour of a Britain that kind of does not exist anymore. And I think that's where the power of this, like, localism, the local pub and the man and his dog in the pub thing comes from. There's this real yearning there from people. And it is because these things are starting to disappear.
It's because people can feel it. It's a way of living that is specific to us. That's how we do things. And when they're not there, they're replaced with these empty, meaningless kind of voids, and then people then engage in all kinds of degenerate behavior is probably the best word, with the meaning of the word degenerate, meaning that you are lesser than your parents, you have degenerated, you are lesser, you are generatively lesser than your ancestors.
Yes,
is what a degenerate is. So literal people become degenerates because they're trying to fill that void with something to give them that meaning. But because it isn't, I guess you could say, ethnically specific to their soul, it results in various negative behaviors getting expressed. You know, that's kind of like where you get roadmen from, or you get the, you know, you get the what, yes, the white boy acting like the roadman. He need fam.
It's like, yeah.
He need bro.
Your name's, Oliver. You come from Cambridge. Why are you talking like this? Idiot. I've heard people like,
yo, double... shank him up, brother. You fed.
Yeah, and he's got like a double barrel last name. He's what would it be? I don't know. I'm trying. He's like Oliver Coleman Smith or something, like, you know.
Kez.
Yeah.
It'd be like Kez.
But his name's actually
Kez with Michael Collins at the end.
His name's like Kenneth George William Brown or something like that. It's just middle class people. But that is.
You're in it, bruv.
But people do that. People become
paintings, innit?
Yeah, they become basically wiggers. Or wannabe dealers, because they don't have a local community. They don't have a local area. They have nothing to attach themselves to. Pietor996, thank you again for the 50... Is it Czech Krona? Here, met some fellow Brit people through reenactment events. Met more Brits through reenactment events than anything else. It's also where the new Brits aren't in force. Yes, there are hobbies. Hobby groups and things are a good thing to maintain. I mean... It sounds strange, but there are, you know, local villages and local towns that are held together by the local hobby railway. And it is more than just politics. In fact, it is 90% not politics that needs to be done. It is, again, it's the hobby railway, the church roof, the village fair, the village fete, the beer festival. It's making sure that people know each other. It's making sure that you actually do have a local shop for local people. It's all of the things that we used to take for granted that are no longer there, that we kind of have to rebuild ourselves. And localism's a good place to be, because I always say the worst things are actually the more you can do. The more mess there is, the easier it is to know where to clean up, because you can clean up anywhere. Just grab a brush, grab a shovel. You can do whatever you want. The darker it gets, the more your light radiates. And so that's the ethos I try and take with localism, is actually the worse it gets, the more you can do.
I suppose just to finish off as well then, because I think it's getting close, finishing up now, aren't we?
We can keep talking. There's no real set finish time. We can. I'd like a good roundtable discussion, but
it's not too bad. But it's just I'm just running low on charge. That's all with me device at the minute. So I don't know how much longer I've got.
We've got about 10 minutes. So, we can talk to your device dies. I don't really care. keep going.
Talking to the void. So it was talking to the void, screaming to the void. You have. Oh, I'm just jogging my memory. So the last point that I'd like to make was to do with Rupert and Nigel. It might sound a bit odd to some of the people listening to this, and you're probably going to be like, "Eh, what? What the chuff is he on about?" But the point being is, Rupert and Nigel are very much given to us from on high as a type of Apollonian figure, right? This sort of solar light bringer, etc., etc., some sort of kind of like Prometheus like figure. They're coming down to give fire and so forth to humanity, and obviously in this case it's for us English here. The irony is that Apollo as a actual mythological figure is essentially not the god of the sun. He's actually a deity with a dual meaning, right? He has this imbued sense as a light bringer, and yet he uses silver arrows, and he uses various other silver, and he has a silver shield and all this other kind of mythology around it. Now, that kind of deity is actually connected with one from either Assyria or Babylonia called Nergal. Some of you might... Nergal. Obviously, no stuff, yeah, or Nurgle from Warhammer 40k, which kind of borrows the same naming convention.
It does.
Nurgle, obviously, for those that are not obviously Nurgle, is obviously the god of rot and decay. And what I'm saying here is that these Apollonian figures, these light bringers, are actually entities made flesh of. Decay and
it's the duality.
Stagnation.
It's the duality of the Apollo is the one of the original messianic figures. He's kind of a messianic deity. He's somebody who, you know, he's a light bringer. He's somebody who also possibly, you know, there's all kinds of comparative religion about myths of Apollo, but it's all to do with the great man and, you know, basically Messiah narrative, because Apollo is one of those. People might be thinking you're talking waffle, but I know you're not, and you're right in that both Nigel Farage and Rupert Lowe are these figures who come down from the mountain. They are sold to us as these solutions, as these almost messiah figures. It's a concept we talk about called white MLK. The MLK was another figure who was sold like that, as almost like the black Apollo in America, as effectively the black civil rights messiah. He is a light bringer, but he is also the bringer of decay. And that is all, you are right, that these are usually poison chalices, and that if you look at classical history and the way that figures like Apollo were framed, or even figures, you know, former false messianic figures, all of this is an extremely good lesson to learn, which is the fact that you shouldn't subsume yourself in the light of others,
all-consuming.
Yes, instead of taking the actions that you can take yourself. And you are right, the mindset, the almost Apollo worship mindset that we see Nigel Farage, the left, in a very real sense, is right, in that many of the gamins, in quotes, do almost worship Ua Nige and Tommy like some kind of borderline deity figure. It is almost scary the extent to which Nige and Tommy and remigration and all of this right wing slop is all certain people have left.
Sorry.
Yeah, go on.
Go on.
No, it's fine. It's just a little bit.
I was going to say.
Lag.
Fair enough. I was going. Lag. I was going to say. The opposite to the Apollonian figure, the straight opposite, is literally just Sol. It's literally just the sun. In Norse mythology, I think it'd be Sol and, oh no, it's Muni and Mani, I think. That's the sun and the moon. There's direct opposites to that. But a better opposite in this case is Dionysus or Prometheus or even Hephaestus.
But it's these right. figures who are supposed to be bringing us like sacred knowledge. And that is the dynamic. Yes. I always laugh because it is over and over. I mean, they tried it with Boris Johnson, for goodness sake. And you're right in that if you think that Nigel Farage is going to save your town specifically, you are wrong. In fact, it might be that your town is one of the towns that is sacrificed for the greater national good. But that doesn't help your town. And that's what I always think about. I always think about these areas that have been effectively surrendered. Like, who's going to help places like Nelson and Burnley and Oldham and Bradford and the outlying areas of Leeds and all of these places that are in just abject decay that the Westminster Project would take, even if they were firing on all cylinders, years and possibly decades to get to. It's really kind of triage, an immediate triage. And I know it doesn't really excite people, but please, you know, look around you, put your devices down and look what's going on in your immediate area, on your street, in your little section of the town, in your town at large, in your area at large. But don't go beyond that, really, I'd say, politically. If you want to take quote-unquote concrete action, you should be, you know, there's a phrase that don't shit where you eat. Well, the opposite of that is you should keep where you eat clean. You should, you know, you should clean where you eat. You should beautify where you eat. You shouldn't just not shit where you eat. And that is really a lot of the politicos aren't capable of doing that. I'm through a family member, I will say, I'm actually quite connected to some of our local politics stuff quietly. There's bits and pieces of advice I've given, and to be fair, they're actually quite switched on and do quite a lot of good stuff, and I keep quite abreast of it. But that, I think, is some of the more meaningful political action I've personally witnessed take place. And I've met MPs, ambassadors, I've met all kinds of influencers. And the people I've witnessed take the most concrete political action in this country are my local councillors from my local party who honestly do care. And it is good when you get there. And it does make a difference when you get that. And that is something you can have and get if you reject the Westminster paradigm and if, you know, localize your mind. I actually quite like that. I'll deglobalize is negative, localize is positive. I agree with you. That's a better way. It's also less syllables. You should have a local brain for local people. That's the way it should really work. Anyway, I will make sure I've not missed any donations here. Thank you for the 50 sec. I don't know if it was the Wayfarer Knights. I don't know if it was donating in sec.
Sorry.
Is AA coping
hard? If I disconnect shortly, it's I'm only on 1%, that's all.
Oh, so shit,
if I
okay.
just disappear, it's because I'm dead.
You say your goodbye then quickly, and I can make sure we've got an outro and stuff.
Goodbye, everybody. Enjoy the warm weather in the summer. If you do not hear from me again, I am not dead. I have just disappeared and become local man.
He's become so local, he's left in disgust. At our non-local stream here. Anyway, thank you to everyone is AA coping hard about Restore or does it have any chance of success? I honestly think AA seems to be rowing back really quickly. I honestly, people just like to have hope, and there was something there that could have been okay, but electoral projects outside of an exceptionally local level, unless you actually know the people personally who are going to be put in office and you can influence them personally, electoral politics isn't for you. Unless you are in direct contact with these representatives and they represent your agenda in a way that can be implemented immediately on a local level, that's the only time, quote-unquote, democracy can help, and even then it can be squished on high. So I'd say he is coping, but everybody copes. Everybody copes eventually. Anyway, thank you guys for watching. Thank you, Lewis, for coming. Thank you to everyone who donated, and thank you to everyone who engages with our stuff. We do have stuff on the Anti-Politics Substack. I'll not shill that. We shilled too much. We shilled that last week, but we have more stuff going on Anti-Politics. Both of these streams we put on Anti-Politics ad-free as well. I think tomorrow and Saturday. I don't really completely crowd people. I only like having one thing coming up at one point. But, oh my goodness, why is that not working? I'm trying to put up some music here, but it is completely eluding me. There we go. Okay, I will say have a good evening. I'll see you guys, and, well, bye.